Welcome to the Art of Black Miami podcast, organized by Greater Miami Convention and Visitors Bureau. Our stories introduce emerging and experienced artists who make Miami an exciting place to live and visit. I'm Rosie Gordon Wallace, curator and arts advocate. Miami is my home since the 1970s. My passion is cultivating the vision and talent of contemporary artists from the Caribbean diaspora, artists of color, and immigrant artists. Many cultures and languages come together to shape the character of Miami. Hi, Michelle Lisa Poulissant. I've known you for a long time, and I was reading your CV and recognized that you were born in Boynton Beach. Tell us about the connection between a Haitian family in Boynton Beach.
So I was born in Boynton, raised in Delray. And that area, I feel like, became like a haven for a lot of Haitians who first moved from Haiti or whatever country. Like, my parents actually were coming from St. Martin. So from St. Martin to Miami, which at the time in the 80s, when there was this big influx of Haitian people, was kind of like the Wild West. My siblings were the ones who saw that life. I had some family members stay here, but my parents specifically wanted to move further away, and so they went to Palm Beach County. Now there's a very big Haitian community there. When I was a kid, it was a lot more young folks and like young families, but now the community there is getting a lot older, and we're getting to second and third generations of Haitians in Palm Beach. I'm very much a third culture kid, where I learned Creole on my own, like, aggressive desire to keep that. I also spent a lot of time traveling back and forth to Haiti.
You chose to move to Miami at the age of 19. Why not New York?
I always thought I would move to New York or LA for art. But when I was first apartment hunting, looking at schools, it just didn't feel right. Finally, I decided to come to Miami and go to FIU. I 100% thought I was going to FIU, get a degree, and then move to somewhere like a bigger art city. But it was like one thing after the other kept me here in a good way. It was like, oh, here's an opportunity. Another one, another one, another one. Then after a while, it was like I had built both like personal community and a professional community that I was never really prepared to abandon, I guess.
Share with us a little bit about your practice.
What I'm realizing is that at the core, I am using my personal experiences as source material to talk about bigger issues, to talk about more shared experiences. I have a series called The Ballad of Me and You. It's a textile-based series, and that series is my way of using my experiences in romantic relationships to talk more openly about this very common desire, which is love and care and intimacy and attention and things like that. So, like, I personally have always identified as, like, queer, and it was mostly just, like, open-ended, kind of, like, fluid. And that series was really nice for me because it became kind of meditative to just kind of think about what I want and, like, how that could manifest. Also, just finding a way to put it out into the world versus, like, internally holding on to, like, these, like, feelings.
Share with us a little bit about the work that you think the community has seen and know better.
People are mostly familiar with my photography, which is funny because I use my own photography in the textile work because I print the photographs on textiles. But I think because of the way that they're applied, it feels less like photography sometimes. My photographic work was kind of the starting point of my seriousness with art. Sophomore year, I think, of high school, I was like, I'm going to take a photography class. And I'm very, very privileged. I had lived in Palm Beach where we had very well-funded high schools. And my high school had like 30 film SLRs that we could just check out and have for the semester. So that was where I started. And I fell in love with the process, using a dark room and processing from scratch. We had a little studio in the back and we would do studio lighting setups and things like that. So by the time I went to college, that's what I mainly focused on. I worked with Peggy Noland and Bill McGuire at FIU, Lisette Schaefer, Ed and Mirta, like they were our professors. And I think back now and I'm like, I had a really 5-star education with photography. They all had a very varying practice and also different approaches, but all of those approaches really helped me to work. the main project that people are probably the most familiar with is Dancing With Myself, which is a self-portrait series. That's digital because I wanted to actually play with and test how well I could make self-portraits in kind of very aggressive lighting settings. I have these images, like layers of photographs to come together into like composites. It sounds way more complicated than it is. It looks like a regular photograph, but essentially I'm like using multiple exposures to make the image all look properly done. And what was happening was I was up late at night a lot, contemplating, thinking, and I wanted to start photographing myself in that 2, 3 a.m. insomnia.
Somebody without someone is no one at all. You talked about going back to Haiti, and how has this sparked your projects around home and Haiti?
If Home Was Home is a series that I have been doing for a while of trips back to Haiti with my parents. So my parents in 2014, when I graduated college, gave me a gift, which was a trip back to Haiti. So I went with them for a month, and that spawned this desire to just keep coming back quite often. My parents live in a small rural fishing village called Yeboul d'Aken, which is the old village of Aken, and it's in what's considered the southwest department of Haiti. Yeah. A lot of the people there are related to me. And so I started photographing the second I went there. I carried a gigantic book bag with 4 cameras in it. So it started this series that focused on what it means to be this person who's of a third culture and how that space feels so familiar and it feels so much like home, but in the same way that the United States also feels very much like home, and in the same way that both don't feel like home at all. My parents were never fully comfortable here. They tried their best, but this isn't home for them. And because of the complicated nature of being a Black person here, a child of immigrants, there's all these layers. All of that energy really fuels this project and my desire to go back and forth. I would go back once or twice a year, which stopped after 2020 because I wasn't comfortable traveling internationally.
2021 was a big year for you. You ventured into new creative territory. You won a Wavemaker grant. You want to share what that grant is and what your project is about?
So it was kind of cool, actually, to win the Wavemaker grant because I used to administer that grant.
That's right.
For Locust Projects. And so for that award, I'm producing a film called Wake. And the film is about 2 best friends living in a disco-worshipping cult. We follow what happens when one escapes and the other one is left behind. Instead of watching the escape story, we're actually watching what happens to the friend who's left behind and is assumed to have known where she went and what happens. And for me, this is another point in which I am using my life as source material. The church that I grew up in as a child, for most people, would be categorized as a cult. It's got the picture of, you know, charismatic leader, controls your whole life, controls your money, mm-hmm. tells you what to do. And I was quite young, but having that be my first experience with religion, really, and then seeing how every single church I was in had maybe not all of the elements, but like 1 or 2, it really showed me how much indoctrination is in, like, very much ingrained in our culture.
So in 2021, you curated a project for Oolite Art Center, Feels Like 97 Degrees. Tell us a little bit about that.
Feels Like 97 Degrees was something that I had started writing before the pandemic. I was thinking a lot about how people view South Florida, and especially Miami and our beaches, as this vacation space only party area, and they don't really see it as this place where real people live. We're just like spaces for people to come have leisure and have a good time. There's been conversations around Miami artists not making political work, which it's not correct. A lot of our political work is not the same, I guess, aesthetic of what maybe other places are. I think especially as photographers, people flatten what kind of work is being made by photographers and filmmakers, because there's something, I think maybe it's too easy for some people sometimes, or there's something about lens-based media that people assume there's nothing beyond what's there unless it's considered like full-on documentary photography. And so I really wanted to highlight artists and work that I think speaks to this kind of like vast socioeconomic experience that is South Florida. There's a piece by Angel Lauren Garcia called self-titled Angel Garcia that's her exploring gender as a queer Cuban woman named Angel, which is a man's name. There's this film called Key Largo, and one of the characters is named Angel Garcia, and he is the picture of machismo. And so the film is this two-channel video of her playing with the idea of performing as Angel Garcia. So you watch Angel Garcia, the actor, and Angel Lauren Garcia, the person as Angel Garcia, next to each other.
Yeah, I saw that piece.
I really like that piece a lot. Sofia Valiente's project, Forever Glades, was a big starting point for me. We went to FIU together. When she was in college, she moved to Belgrade to do a project there. There's a big agricultural culture there, much more poor and rural, and her work can exist so closely with other work. The way that aesthetically South Florida is warm, it's very bright. You can take a photograph of something very dark and not happy, but it looks so bright. And I think that that's where people are like, South Florida is a fun time only. And it's like, there's a lot happening here. There's like a big socioeconomic conversation that needs to be had here that's not being had often. There's a lot.
What's next for yourself and what you think is happening or will happen with the Miami art scene?
Well, I think the Miami art scene is going to, frankly, have to reckon with the financial issues here. I'm a person who's always been quite comfortable financially, but I'm seeing quite a hit with the changes. So with this jump in population, with all these New Yorkers coming here, you know, people saw that cheap rent and they moved here, but now finances need to meet with where that is. Our housing has gone up by 36% this year. That's a very big jump. Your average raise at a job is 5, maybe 10% if you're very lucky. So 36% is a car payment, your electrical bill and your cable bill. It's a lot of money.
In this time when these issues are real, tell us, how are you going to find your joy?
I've finally gotten back to a point where I'm excited to make something new in the studio. During the pandemic, I think I maybe shot 2 rolls of photographs, which for me is very, very, very little. I was shooting multiple rolls a week at one point. So I'm really excited to start working on a new project that I'm doing. You know, I won't get into it too much, but I'm essentially using muslin and pigments to paint. It's really exciting for me because it's going back to painting, but not venturing too far from my textile background. I'm also excited to be spending more time with my dog, with my family. In the last 2 years, I've maybe only seen them a handful of times. The pandemic has really placed people inside, so it's really exciting to be able to like do things like this with you and go outside again. Like curating the show and having an opening, although it's not the end of the pandemic, to feel like I'm venturing further, closer to like some semblance of a new view of this world. Being able to spend time with artists and community again, that's where I'm finding my joy.
This was an Art of Black Miami podcast sponsored by the Greater Miami Convention and Visitors Bureau. I am Rosie Gordon-Wallace. Today we introduce you to Michelle Lisa Polisson, an artist who translates personal experience into universal narratives. Through photography, curating, and film, she reveals her desire to understand the force of culture on individuals and communities. We recorded this conversation in the historic neighborhood of Little Haiti, a mecca for Black art and culture. Art of Black Miami highlights the year-round art and culture scene in Miami's heritage neighborhoods and across communities in Greater Miami and Miami Beach. If you are enjoying our stories, visit artofblackmiami.com to learn more. Engage us on social media, post and share using the hashtag ArtofBlackMiami. The Greater Miami Convention and Visitors Bureau is an accredited, independent, not-for-profit sales and marketing organization. GMCVB's mission is to attract visitors to Greater Miami and Miami Beach for leisure, business, and conventions. For up-to-date art events, promotions, and more information, visit artofblackmiami.com.